Can we just pray? Yes, Father, I just want to dedicate the service before you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your favor, Lord. Thank you that you're with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're a real, powerful, mighty God, Lord. And we submit our hearts and our lives to you. And we thank you that you reign in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I went with Mariette and Marietta Sell to the shelter on Wednesday night. And they sell. And I was so blessed by what I saw. But I must be honest with you, it's tough. And because I saw people there that are, you can see they came from a really well background. There was a woman that was sitting there, and you can see this man, he was probably very successful in life. And some things happened in his life where he ended up in a shelter. There was various people, and many of the people you can see came from a really good background. And it challenged me. It challenged me, what can happen? How bad can things go in your life? Where can you end? That some people can even end in a shelter, and you see people who completely wasted and people who still have dignity. And I was really challenged by that. And I think many of us in our backgrounds, because we have not had a father that encouraged us and loved us and protected us, many people almost are emotionally immature because they never had a father that could affirm them where they were going and as they were raising up. And it's like a curse of fatherlessness that is in this world. A man, Cassie Carstens, I went to this pastor thing summit in Cape Town, and this guy had to speak. And I think most of the pastors thought, Dutch Reformed Dominee, what is he going to share with us? But as he started speaking, you could just see how everyone changed towards this man because he was a man of God. And he shared how he went to Africa and how God had spoken to him about soccer and how to reach the young men because none of them have fathers, and how to reach them, how to father them through soccer. And how he was speaking to one man and he said, "Where's your father?" And this boy would tell him how his father got shot in front of him. And he got and his uncle got murdered, and all these violence that was in the families. But even with us today as well, many kids grow up in divorced houses, or the fathers get drunk, or the fathers work so hard that they're never at home. They're being brought up by the mothers or by the grandmothers. In the black cultures, many of the men had to go and work in the mines or in the towns or in the cities, and the children were brought up by grandmothers. So we have a generation of men that has not been fathered. Men and women who are very immature. I heard a man said, the man's DNA determines the sex of a child, but the man's presence with a child that influences the sexuality of that child between years 1 and 5. And that there are many people who struggle and are sexually immature as they grow up because they have a need to connect to their father that they haven't had. So in Malachi, the last verse of the Bible says, "And he, God, will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse." That we live in a land that's been cursed because of fathers that's been taken away. But the good news this morning is in Galatians 3 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." That even though there is a curse, we will not be influenced by this curse because we will overcome by the blood of Jesus. Because he hung on the cross for us, we can live in abundance. We can live in a blessing because of what God has done for us. But who is the Son of God? Who is Jesus? What did he come to do for us? In John 1 verse 2 says, Jesus was in the beginning with God. So Jesus he wasn't born 2,000 years ago. He was right in the beginning. He was God. It says, all things were made through him. All things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus was not anything made that was made. So Jesus made everything. The the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But yet Jesus walked in total obedience when he was on the earth. He said that the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but he can only do what the Father tells him to do. And he says, whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. So Jesus came to set the example of obedience. He walked and he only did what the Father told him to do. But he also came to sacrifice. In Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. There's lots to be said about the sacrifice that God did, that Jesus did. But remember that Jesus loved us, you so much, me so much, that he sacrificed everything so that we can have life and life in abundance. And I think it's important. I just pick up something in the spirit a little bit, that people focus so much on the Father. They focus and they pray so much to the Father or the Holy Spirit on the other side. It's so much, but it's almost like Jesus has been taken out of the equation a little bit. But John 14, verse 6 and 7 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know the Father because you know me. That Jesus is the Father and the Father is Jesus. God is one. And that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. There's not many ways, there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus was also the high priest for us. In the Old Testament, there was a priest once a year. He had to take all the sacrificed lambs and animals, and they had to sacrifice it for the sins of many. Then Jesus came, and he was the sacrificed lamb for all of us once and for all. It never had to be done again. But this high priest, this great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that we can hold fast onto as our confession. But we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a high priest who's been tempted in every way as we have, without sin. So for the guys, he probably experienced lust as well. He experienced depression. He experienced all these things, yet he never fell for it. So when we draw near to him in Hebrews 5, he says that, with confidence, we can draw near to him because he understands every weakness that we have. With confidence, we can draw near to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace in our times of need. That we know when we go to Jesus, he knows everything because he's experienced it itself. When we draw near to him, we can draw with confidence. We can draw near to him. Hebrews 5 says that Jesus didn't exalt himself, but he was appointed by God when God said to him, you are my son, today I've begotten you. So even Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of heavens and earth, didn't appoint himself. He waited on God the Father to appoint him. And then it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Even Jesus Christ had to learn obedience by what he had suffered. So when we go through suffering, we can rejoice. We're learning obedience. And he was made perfect, and therefore he became the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Because he had suffered, he learned obedience, and he was the perfect sacrifice to him. But I think Malcolm's going to be quite pleased with my message from here onwards, because he's been speaking to me about this quite a lot. But in Romans 8, verse 14 says, that all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Verse 15 says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we can call him Abba, Father. Now, Abba is just an Aramaic word for Father. The audience was Greek, it was written in Greek, so he just wanted to explain to the Aramaic readers as well, you can call God your daddy, Papa. You can call him Papa, your Father. He's not this man sitting up there. You can call him as you come to a Father that loves you. That's how you can call him. Then it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So each one of you, when you make a confession to God in the Spirit, you become a child of God. I share that book, Heaven is So Real, where this child was born. The baby died the baby died before the mother gave birth to the baby. And this son went to heaven and he met his sister. And he asked the sister what her name was. And the sister didn't know. She said, I never got a name. She said, but what happened to you? She said, no, the father adopted her. And the father brought her up. So there's a spirit of adoption where each one of us becomes a child of God because God has adopted each one of us. But the good news is that we're not only children, but we are also heirs. Amen. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffered with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Because as a son of God, we're not only a child, but we have an inheritance. Each one of us have an inheritance in God. That we're sons of God, but we're not only children, that there's an inheritance for all of us. In John 10 verse 11, it talks about the shepherd and the hired hand or the hireling. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But he who's a hired hand, he sees the wolf comes and he runs away. And the wolf comes and he snatches the sheep and he scatters them. For the hired hand runs away because the sheep doesn't belong to him. But he says, I am the good shepherd. These sheep belong to me and they follow me because they know me. And as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I will lay down my sheep for these sheep. That Jesus is a son because of his relationship with the Father. Not because of what he's done. He's a son because he's got relationship with the Father. The hireling doesn't have relationship, so he runs away. He scatters away. And then it says that Jesus, there are some sheep that is not part of the fold. He wants to bring them in. That's part of that spirit of adoption, that they will listen to my voice, that there will be one flock and one shepherd. And this is the reason that the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. And then Jesus continues in saying, he did it out of his own accord. He didn't do it because he was forced to. He's got the authority to lay down his life, and he's got the authority to stand up again. So he wasn't forced to do it. He forced it because he can do it. And Jesus came to set an example for us to be sons or not. So you're either a son of God or you're a hireling. And this morning, I want to say to you that God is calling on us to be sons of God. That we will not be influenced by the circumstances we live in, because we will be influenced by the Spirit of God. That we will not get thrown when things go tough, but we'll stand because we know who our Father is. Now, what is a son? There's a few things. There's 9 points that I just wanted to bring in. But the first one is that the son walks in the Spirit of God. In John 7, it says, in verse 37, Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, when you're emotionally in a bad place and you stand like this, oh, it's terrible. I've had such a bad night. The Spirit of God is not in you. Because if the Spirit of God is in you, the joy of the Lord will be there. If the Spirit of God is in you, the fruit of the Spirit will manifest through your life. There will be love. There will be peace. There will be joy. There will be faithfulness, goodness, friendliness. There will be self-control. When you walk into a place, even though bombs exploded around you, you can say, God is good. Because you know you are a father. You walk in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is with you. That place where the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's not out of your own strength, but it's because you walk in the Spirit of God. The second thing that I believe, that sons walk in the power of God. The power of God in John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And then this woman said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's coming into this world. This is something that God is speaking to me about, but there's this man in Exodus 31, 35, verse 31, the Spirit of God came upon him. He was filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship. And I really believe there's a place for us as Christians, sons of God, sons and daughters of God, where we can be filled with the Spirit of God, to be so creative where we work, to be so ahead of what the other colleagues are, because the Spirit of God is upon you. That there's a there will be a blessing on your company because you are there, because you are a son of God. That there will be a blessing on your clients because you are a son of God. Where you go, there will be a blessing on your neighborhood because you are a son of God. That you walk in the power of God. That where you in a meeting, that you can stand up and prophesy what your company is going to do. Because the power of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God wants to give you the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge. He wants to give you a head start where other people won't have it. That God can promote you in the ranks, that you have more influence for His kingdom to come wherever we are. That is really what I believe. Long ago, I was really in a bad place, and I was a consultant at Jonathan Ball. I don't know if you know, they publish this. It was a new computer software system. I only had experience to it for about 4 or 5 months. And there was a lot of people speaking negatively about me, and I was really in a bad place. And I just came to a place where I just realized God wants me here, and I'll pray for this company. And I anointed this company every night because I left. I was the last guy to leave, and I was almost the first guy to get there. And I would anoint this place, and I worked really hard, but there was no fruit in my life. And I just continued praying for the people. There was many people who were homosexual people in that company. My one boss was laying hands on sick people, and they got healed through demonic powers. And so I was really confronted with a lot of darkness. But I went to Jonathan Ball, and they were losing hundreds of thousands of rands because of the report that wasn't working well. And I said, Theo, you must sort this thing out. And I had 4 or 5 months experience, and this man that was working on this report had 15 years worth of experience in the area. And I said, God, I need your help. And I sat there not even 2 minutes. Through all this code, I just saw these two fields standing out. And he was subtracting the cost price in rands from the cost price in dollars, okay, the sales price in dollars, and that was where the mistake was. And I said, there's your mistake. And everything changed in that company to me because of the Spirit of God. After that, I still felt so, oh my word, just now they catch me out. But it's just something that God showed me, that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, and I believe for us as Christians, there's this place where we can be different because we live in the power of God. The third thing that I believe, sons of God walk in the freedom. They walk in freedom. In John 8 says, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That we will be free because we know the truth. And he continues in 34. I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains in the house. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We as Christians shouldn't walk with lust. We shouldn't walk with depression. We shouldn't walk with feelings to commit suicide or to murder other people or with anger, because the Spirit of God wants to set us free completely. We shouldn't sit with wanting to get drunk every night that I go out, or want to smoke marijuana or whatever your vice is, because the Spirit of God wants to set us free. And sons of God walks completely free. They don't walk in that place where they slaves to sin, where they walk as hirelings and not as sons. The fourth thing, sons serve in the house. They serve in the kingdom. Now my brother-in-law, they've got a farms in Wellington. They're the eighth generation. He's the eighth generation on that farm. But he works as a laborer on that farm. He works hard. But the difference between him and the other laborers is he's got an inheritance. He's inheriting those farms. That there's so much that they have, but he's got an inheritance. He puts that extra bit in because he knows this belongs to me. But he probably earned maybe a little bit more than the other guys do, but he still knows when he puts in the extra hours because he knows I'm serving the kingdom that I'm living in. John 12 verse 26 says, if anyone serves me, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. You know, and it's just that place where I believe God, like in Nehemiah, every man stands in front of his house and he builds the wall in front of him. The one hand, he's got his sword, and the other hand, he builds. And when the enemy comes, he attacks the enemy, and then he continues, he's building the wall, so that the wall of Jerusalem will protect the rest of the of the brothers. Number five. I just also want to mention that as well, of serving in God. I've just heard a few people say the kerk vat baie tyd, die kerk doen dit, die kerk doen dit. Maybe just a word of caution here. Vashti resisted the king and she was removed. David's wife, Michal, she was the queen. When David danced before the Ark of the Covenant, she spoke against him and God cursed her and she never had children. Just be careful when you speak against what God is doing, when you speak against the kingdom, when someone gets involved and they want to do stuff. And I also want to warn you, a caution there as well. Don't do stuff that God hasn't called you to do. Do only that what God has called you to do. Don't try and get involved everywhere. Just get your knees where you should be and be planted there and serve in that place, because that is what a son would do. A hireling would want to run everywhere and try and please everybody, but the son does that, what God has called him, what God has called him to do. The sixth thing, the fifth thing is that sons get disciplined. And sons, when they get disciplined, they know that the father loves them. In Hebrews 12, verse 6, says the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. If it is for discipline that you have to endure, God is treating you as a son. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? Because God loves us, and I think we have such a skew idea of fatherhood that we see God when fathers go and they discipline their sons and they slap them, and the child falls there. So he experienced discipline as abuse. But there is a place where we get disciplined. There's just a nice three good shots from the back, and you hold your child afterwards and you say, Daniel, papa's lief vir jou. Dis hoekom ek vir jou pak gee. Not because you want to hurt your child, but you know jy buig die boompie terwyl hy nog jonk is. Hebrews 12 verse 8 says, if you are left without discipline in which you have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Don't resist it when God starts disciplining you or someone else speaks into your life and they show you there's a weak spot. There's a blind spot, and now you go, no, who are these guys? I walk away from that. Many times it's God putting those people over your path. They speak into your life. Don't walk away from that, because that's what a hireling does. A son allow God to speak into their life. If that guy is wrong, just bring it before God anyway, because that's what a son would do. Then the sixth point is, a son cover his brother's weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. Don't talk about the weakness that your brother has. Cover his weaknesses. The one guy would be slow to do something, you get irritable, and then you go to someone else. That's not what a son does. A son covers the weakness of his brother. In Romans 5, I read it earlier in Afrikaans, but it is those who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Let's please our neighbor for the neighbor's good, to build up the neighbor. And that's what Christ did. He didn't come to please himself, but he came to build into other people. And the seventh point is that sons walk in righteousness. That we have the same right to stand before God as Jesus has. The just or the righteous shall live by faith. In our church, everyone sees Pastor Fred just below God. Sometimes they see him like at the same level, which is a mistake. Because they get thrown by him completely. And I just seen that that's not what a son does. A son doesn't, if Pastor Fred says something to you and you don't agree, you submit to what he says. And you take it to God and say, God, I don't understand this. Show it to me. If Pastor Fred was wrong, God will change his mind. If he was right, God will change your mind. He will change your heart. But we have the same right before God as anyone else. So if bad things start happening to you, take it to God, because you have the same right as anyone else, the same right as the Pope, as any godly man, as Billy Graham, to come before God. But when you don't honor authority above you, God will not even listen to you. And this is just what a son does. A son honors, a son respects, a son walks in obedience, a son walks in submission because he knows who his father is. He's got relationship with the father. He doesn't get thrown when people talk negatively about him because he knows who his father is. He's got relationship with his father. Number 8, sons trust in the Lord. Our destiny is not determined by your boss, by your circumstances, by your background, by your family. Your circumstances is determined by God. That's who a son is. We don't say, oh, it's terrible. I've got a father who didn't love me. Because you have a father that loves you. He loves you so much, he died for you. We all have a place where we can stand, that we put our trust in God and not in man. In Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. In Jeremiah 17, it says, cursed is the man that makes his... cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in the uninhabited salt lands. If you put your trust in men, if you go to men all the time to get affirmation, you'll be cursed. And you'll be like a dead bush that gets blown in the desert and nothing good will come from that. Because you're not putting your trust in God. You're not putting your trust in the Lord. Go to God, don't go to men. Jeremiah 17 verse 7 continues, says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So even if there's drought, he will still bear fruit because he's a son, because he's planted in the river, because his connection is with God and not with men, because he puts his trust in God is. And if, then the last thing that I want to say to you, that sons have an inheritance. God says whatever we ask in his name, he will give us. And it clearly tells us we have an inheritance. And if you struggle financially, go and read Psalm 37. Make it your own. I just want to read Psalm 2 for you first. And this is maybe a small testimony, but we were living in Bridgewater, and I would be running there at Biswini. And then many times I would just go and run and pray in the Spirit. And up there I would start praying and I prophesy. And the one prayer that I prayed many times said, God, you say, give me the nations and I will give you the nation. Ask me the nations and I will give you the nations for your possession. And I said, Lord, give me Somerset West, Strand, Gordons Bay for your kingdom. And I just interceded that this place would become that people will become Christians in this area. And then some time ago, God said to me, you ask me the nations. See, I've given it to you. And I was a bit thrown by it. And Carmen Harney SMS'd me SMS, and she said, read to me the following scripture. And this is what it said in Psalm 2, verse 7 to 9. I will tell you of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Such a powerful place where we ask God for our inheritance, and he will give us the ends of the earth as our inheritance. Now, if you struggle financially, Psalm 37, verse 11 says, the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundance of peace. Verse 18 says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. 22, for those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. And in verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. This is just a place of sonship where God exalts us to inherit the land. This is really what I believe God has called us. But we as Christians get thrown very quickly. When things get tough, we fall and we fall backwards and we fade away. And we say, I don't have the faith anymore. That's not what a son does. That's what a hireling does. A son is planted. A son run with endurance. These guys, gents and ladies are doing the August. They will know about endurance right about now. They will start understanding what endurance means. But we stand. Doesn't matter how tough it gets. You get off your bike, you walk a little bit, you get on your bike and you start cycling again. Some time ago, I was doing the August, and we came to the Coke stand. And you know these clip-ons? It was the first time I used clip-ons. And we came in very slowly, and I had two very loud friends with me. And as we came into the Coke stand, I took out this foot, and then my balance was all to this side. And slowly, I just fell over like this. I couldn't get my foot out, and everyone just laughed at me. So I was a joke. That was my one August experience. I don't like August too much. It's very embarrassing for me. But Hebrews 12:1 says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight and sin, which clings to us so closely. So all the sin and the stuff that is holding you down, take it away. Just get rid of it. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. That we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. That we know there's a place that we can stand. So I want to just finish off by a clip that I want to show you. Maybe some of you have seen it, but it's called Tim Hoyt. It's a man, his name is Dick Hoyt. He was born in 1940. His son Rick was born in 1962. He had cerebral palsy. It's a disease where his child's muscles stopped growing. I think he could only use the one hand to type a little bit. Eventually, they got computers so that he could speak through the computers to his parents when he was quite old already. And in 1977, his father ran a 5-mile race with his son, and his son said, "That's the best I've ever felt." So he started running races. And then in 2009, he was almost 70 years old. He has done his 1,000th marathon. And the clip that I want to show you is where he's doing the Ironman. The Ironman, they swim 3.8 kilometers. They cycle 180 kilometers. The August is only 110. So they swim 3.8, then they cycle 180, and then they run 42 kilometers after that. And he did it with his son because this is the love that a father has for his son. And when you look at this, you get a better idea of what a father is. For many of you who haven't had a father will sacrifice anything for his son. And I want to say to the men, God wants you not only to be a son, but he wants you to become a father. I just want to show you the clip. This boy had a father that loved him and sacrificed so much for him. The father had heart problems when he started running in the beginning. But he sacrificed everything for his son. But his son said he came through school, he went through university, he did competed in all these races because he had a father that cared for him. He had a father that cared for him as a son. And I want to say to you, we are sons because we have a father that cares for us. He doesn't do marathons, he died for us. He did everything for us. And this is who we are. We've given a spirit of adoption by whom we can call him Abba Father. That we have a father that will swim 3.8 kilometers with a boat dragging behind him. A man that's already 70 years old because his son feels exhilarated when he competes with his father in these things. He's done 6 of those with his son. I really believe so strongly God wants us to become sons and then to become fathers so that we can start fathering the children. That the children can be fathered. And this is the breakfast as well. This is the idea of the Brothers Keepers breakfast. That we come and we get the old and the young to come together. There's many people who are lonely, but that they don't have people that care for them. But there's so many older people that have time to invest in younger people's lives. You know, when we go to the shelter, for example, we mustn't play church. God has called us, he's given us high ground to influence the community. I really believe that is what sons do. Because all of this is our kingdom. And God has given it to us. We must take it. It's up for the taking. But we must come together and say, God, we are planted. We want to make a difference. We are ready to take to take it, to take our inheritance. The revelation, and I want to say to all of you, we are all sons and daughters of God. We are all have an inheritance. Revelation 21 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Can you please just stand? Now, maybe I just want you to just close your eyes. And just reach out to your Father. Reach out to our Father. And maybe you don't feel like a son or a daughter this morning. You don't feel like a child because you're not walking in freedom. You're not walking in the power of God, or you don't walk in the Spirit of God. You feel like a illegitimate child. Maybe you feel your weaknesses are not being covered, or you don't feel righteous, and you've been putting your trust in men and not in God. Or you're just touched by God. You're just touched by His Spirit, and you just want someone. You just want to share it with someone. You want His God Spirit to come mightily upon you. You want to take up your role in sonship as a son or a daughter of the Most High, as a prince or a princess. Or you want to be a father. You want to stand up and say, "I'm going to father." I want to ask you, are you a son or are you a hired hand? Do you belong or do you criticize? Are you complaining or are you giving solutions? Do you feel this church is a loveless church, or do you love the people in this church? I just want to ask you to respond to these questions to God and say, "Lord, I want to be a son. I want to be a son. And I accept and I thank you, Lord, that you've adopted me as a son, as a child of God. But more than that, that I take on the inheritance that you've given me in the name of Jesus. And I will obey you and I will follow you. And I will walk according to what you want for me, Lord. Show me your will for my life. Because I'm a son and a daughter of God. I have an inheritance and I'm claiming the inheritance in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming this inheritance for me and my family, for my children and for my grandchildren in the name of Jesus. We will walk in our inheritance. We will not be slaves. We will not be hirelings. We are sons. We are sons of God in Jesus' name." Yes, Father, I thank you that I can pray for every person here today, Lord, to stand up. And if you just maybe want to respond to God, just raise your hand to Him and say, "Lord, I want to be your son, Lord. Raise me up as a son in your house, in your kingdom, Lord, in the name of Jesus." Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, that it's not about how we feel, but it's about who we are. That sometimes we don't feel like Christians and we feel down and out and we feel depressed. But it's not about how we feel. It's about whose we are. We are the sons. Lord, that man achieved so much in life because he had a father that loved him. Because he understood how much his father loved him. Because he was in relationship with his father. Lord, I pray that you establish the relationship with the fathers. With you, Father God. With us, your children. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If anyone needs prayer, I'm not going to call out anything. I just want to encourage you to come forward that we can pray with you. If you feel, maybe you feel that you feel illegitimate, you feel like a hireling, but you just want someone to lay hands on you and to anoint you with the Spirit of God to stand in that place, I want to invite you to come forward that we can pray with you. I'm just going to ask David to minister a song so long, and just spend time with God. Just pray with God. May the Lord God bless you. May He keep you. May God really speak to you this week. And may you really experience God's love wherever you go this week in Jesus' name. Come and have some coffee with us. May God bless you. Remember that God really loves you. Amen.